This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly tracks, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's a pitcher who never had a beard that he didn't want to shave because he wanted to play for the Yankees. I don't know what that all means. He's Brian Anderson. Hello, BA.
What's up, buddy?
I don't know what that all means either. What are you talking about, Belfie?
But before we get to the hockey, among other things, did you see the Yankees have said, you know what? We're going to let our guys have nicely groomed beards now.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Did not hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I need to crawl out from under the rock that I've been living, but I did not hear that because that, I mean, that's news.
That is news.
It's massive.
Just happened today.
That is massive news. Oh, wow. That'll be interesting to see. And you know that every one of those guys that can are going to take advantage of that rule because, I mean, that's the iconic franchise who's never allowed facial hair. That's pretty big.
That is kind of big. Did you ever play for a team manager that said, you can't do this, and it was a problem?
Yes. When I played for the Angels, and I was a rookie, this is a great story. When I was a rookie with the Angels, we had a no facial hair policy.
Oh.
And I'm 21 years old. I can barely get some peach fuzz. I mean, I wasn't growing a beard back then if I wanted to. And there were numerous times during the course of the season that I'd be sitting on the bench, second or third inning. Rod Carew, Hall of Famer Rod Carew, was our hitting coach. And he would come down and sit next to me, and he'd rub his finger on my face. And he would catch a couple stubble. I couldn't grow a beard, and we had a no facial hair policy. And he'd be like, what's that, Rook? What's that? You know what? You better get yourself upstairs right now and get yourself shaved. And I'm like, Rod? He's like, get upstairs and get yourself shaved. This is like the third inning of a major league game. So I would be up in full uniform shaving my face during the game. I would come back down, an inning or two later, he would saunter on down, sit next to me, and he'd be like, you know I'm just messing with you, right? And, you know, ha, ha, ha. But here's the thing, boys. That within a month and a half, he'd come down again. Hey, what's with this face? You know we got a facial hair policy. And I'd be like, Rod, I know you're kidding. Oh, you want me to get loud? You want me to get loud? You get upstairs right now and you get that face shaved. And I would do it back. You know I was just messing with you, right? I mean, time and again. He probably did that to me three times during the course of the 94 season. But, yeah, so that was one of them, and they took full advantage of the rookie.
That sounded like, yes, Dad, I will go shave. Oh,
and by the way, lest anybody think otherwise, Rod Carew was – I loved him. Absolutely, what a great guy. absolutely, you know, one of the best hitters the game's ever seen, and such a great guy. He was awesome with my parents. You know, when they came out, he made it a point to go out and see them, give my mom a hug. I mean, he was just a tremendous guy. But he was old school. I was a rookie, and that's what happened back then.
That's awesome.
That's hysterical, awesome. Man. That's absolutely sir. All right, let's do this. We brought you on. Yeah, I know, former pitcher, calls for the Rays. Yeah, all that stuff. That's beside the point. Let's talk hockey.
We like that, though.
Let's talk hockey. That game was outstanding last night. I'm still, like, buzzing from sitting there and watching that thing, and I was like, when it comes to hockey, man, I am as casual gets. Yeah. And I tuned in for the first USA-Canada and was like, oh, this is something. And then last night was just some of the crisp, finest hockey. What'd you think sitting there watching that?
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. I have gotten into hockey more here probably over the last decade and have been a Maple Leaf fan. So, it's another team that consistently disappoints you. But I became a Maple Leaf fan because growing up out in Geneva, when I was growing up, we didn't have cable TV. You know, you had channels 3, 5, 8. You'd get channel 43, WUAB. You'd get channel 25 out of Erie. And if the rabbit ears were turned just right, you would get Hockey Night in Canada out of Toronto. And there was a lot of Toronto that went on that. That's why they, you know, became my team as I started to get into hockey once again. So I've been more than a casual fan here recently and have really gotten into the international stuff. And so when they played in the round robin, you know, couldn't wait. And, of course, the American National Anthem is getting booed out of the stadium there or the arena in Montreal. And you're just like, oh, you know, your blood's boiling, sitting on the couch, getting ready. And then they start throwing down. And Danny and I were laughing about it before I came on the air. You've got 19 minutes and 51 seconds left in period number one, and the penalty boxes are full. Bro, that's all you need to say. That was epic. And so when it all of a sudden came all the way around where it's going to be USA Canada in Boston in the finals, I'm telling you right now, and I am not, this is not hyperbole, I am not exaggerating at all, I was looking forward to that game last night more than I have looked forward to in a sporting event in my memory.
That's
recent
awesome.
Memory. I was so jacked, could not wait. Let my little guy, let little Baker, who's 6 years old and should be in bed by 8:15, I let him stay up and watch the first period with me. Paid for it this morning. However, let him watch the game with me. It was absolutely epic until it ended. And you know, when you got into overtime and you saw Binnington make the saves that he did against Matthews, Austin Matthews, ironically enough, Toronto Maple Leaf guy, had some really good opportunities in overtime and got stoned, you're like, uh-oh. And then sure as crud. And I think it was even, you know, I know Connor McDavid, you know, scored the goal to win the game. But I think earlier in that sequence, he had brought the puck up the ice and he looked like he was playing at a different speed level. And you've got the best of the best in the world on the ice. And the way that he was moving up the, you know, moving up the ice into the, you know, the offensive zone, you're like, uh-oh. And then it wasn't, but a few seconds later, wrap around, he pops it in, and I was absolutely livid, sad, great game, no question about it. But it was, let's just say it was a rough night for me on many levels. I'm not kidding you. I crawled into bed for good a little after 4.
Oh, my goodness.
4:15. Yeah. Yeah. I was sad. I was sad that they lost.
All right. Well, we're glad you're back and with us today.
Yes. And that, by the way, that was a quick turnaround, too, because it was about 4:15 and then a 6:43 wake up to get the little guy to school.
Oh.
And running right now on coffee. Blackbeard's delight if you're interested.
Yeah, you're gonna need a nap. But yeah, you're
nap,
right, dude. They,
nap coming up.
They did a really good job all game with keeping McDavid relatively quiet, and then all of a sudden in that overtime period, it's like he just decided, oh, I got one more gear. It was like watching a Fast and Furious movie when you see Vin look over at Brian and just go, too soon. And he just kicked that gear and was like, good night.
Isn't it amazing? And again, it's one thing to look that fast in a regular NHL game. That stands out. But to do it when it's the best of the best in the world on the ice and to be moving at a clip that is noticeably quicker than everybody else, you're like, wow, that guy's special. And he certainly is.
With that in mind, the guys all, I mean, they kicked it up a notch for what was basically an exhibition game. And played like crazy because, as McDavid said after the game, you know, hey, we get to put this uniform on. The Americans said the same thing. They were pumped up about playing for their country. Did you ever get the opportunity to play in international stuff representing Team USA? And do you think that's a big deal in baseball, maybe more so now than it's been in the past because of some of the other nations that have really come on baseball-wise?
Yeah. You know, the World Baseball Classic shows you that. I think there's no question that guys love to play for their country and take it seriously. And yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, when I was a freshman at Wright State, our coach, Ron Nischwitz, unbeknownst to me, had signed me up to go try out for the Pan American team in 1991. I was a freshman, knowing full well that I probably wasn't going to make that team, but he wanted to get me exposed, you know, exposure nationally. And so I went down, actually made it through the first couple rounds of cuts, and then I ended up getting cut. But that's fine because it opened up an opportunity to play in the Cape Cod. So got to play in the Cape Cod as a true freshman, and all of a sudden my name starts to get out there. Sophomore year was the Olympic year, 1992, Barcelona, Spain. And I had been scheduled to pitch against University of Miami on our spring trip, who was coached by Ron Frazier, who was the head coach of the Olympic team. There was a 20-minute, by the way, they've got a turf field. There was a 20-minute Florida rain shower that passed through. They canceled the game.
Ooh.
They canceled? Oh, yes, they did. And I'm telling you right now, it's because I was pitching against them. Ron Frazier didn't want to lose the Wright State on his home field. So they got a 4:15 rain shower till 4:40 on a turf field. It's sunny by 5, and the 7 o'clock game was canceled. And then they said, well, you know, we'd already told the TV trucks to go home, so it is what it is. Bang the game. So never got an opportunity to pitch against them. However, I ended up getting invited. They paid for 40 guys to go to Millington, Tennessee to try out for Team USA. And then they had a bunch of preferred walk-ons, basically. Like, we're not going to pay for you to come down, but we really want you to come down. And I was one of those guys. And funny story about that, we landed in Memphis. We would wait for white vans to pick us up to take us to Millington, Tennessee. We were on a base there, a military base is where we bunked. And there was a young kid there, and there were a lot of good shortstops that year, 1992, in college baseball. And so there's a young kid there, and we're talking, and what's your name? Okay, what position you play? Shortstop. What year? Freshman. I'm thinking to myself, okay, you've got no chance. And with all the shortstops that are out there, good for you that you're here, but you've got no chance. He's asking me the same thing. Oh, Brian Anderson, Wright State, starting pitcher. He tells me later, he's thinking the same thing. All right, you look like you're 12 years old. You're a sophomore. You've got no chance down here with the pitchers that are around in the country. So, you know, good luck to you too. Well, it turns out that we end up making it over. There are hundreds of guys trying out for the, you know, as a walk-on. So they pair us down. They end up keeping like 9 or 10 of us. And then here comes the 40 that were paid for and invited. So now there's 50 guys, and now we start paring down from there. Next thing you know, they're down to the 25-man roster, and guess what? I'm on it, and so is the other kid. And that kid was Nomar Garciaparra.
Ah, there you go. The pride of Georgia Tech, right?
Stop at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I played that entire summer with Team USA, with the Olympic team. We went to Cuba for 4 days. We went to Cuba for 4 days. We played in Holguin. I actually ran into Aroldis Chapman at a gym here in Tampa. And Aroldis Chapman is from Holguin. And I told him, I'm like, I've been to your home city and played ball. His eyes got all big, you know, what? He was a really nice guy too. But anyway, so we played down there for 4 days, came back to the States, and I actually got to start against the Cuban national team on the 4th of July in Mile High Stadium.
Oh, man.
70,000 people. And you remember when the Browns played there in the AFC championship games where they had the bench seating and they could bang their feet on the bench and you could feel it down on the field. And you could hear it when you watched those old Broncos games from Mile High Stadium. Well, they were doing that as I'm standing on the rubber to start that game, and the rubber was vibrating under my feet. It was incredible. Incredible. I don't think I've ever pitched in front of more people than that. All that to say, we get to the very end of our tour of the country and Cuba and everything else. Olympic rosters back then were 20, not 25. We traveled with 25. And guess who was one of the five that got left behind? Me.
Brian Anderson.
And by the way, Nomar ended up making it. He was part of the 20-man roster and got to he was actually even a finalist to carry the American flag in the opening ceremonies.
Wow.
So, yes, I got an opportunity to do that. It was everything that you could ever imagine. But the fairy tale ending ended before the team took off for Barcelona, and I was left behind, and I went back to the Cape Cod.
It's still cool, though. By the way, Nomar's dad, Ramon Garcia Parra, Ramon spelled backwards is?
Yes.
Nomar.
I remember having lunch with him as he was telling me that story. Because I'm like, Nomar is such an interesting name. And he's like, well, let me tell you. And that's exactly, that's the story.
All right. I can't spell Brian backwards. I don't know.
you don't want to be called that. I think that's a cuss.
I was about to say something similar.
It'll be Narab. They're Narab. Narab Anderson.
Yeah.
Fedge Phelps.
That doesn't flow. No flow.
No Fedge Phelps.
By the way, being named after the dog from Family Guy, I mean, could you have a more goober name than Brian? Good Lord. It's
you
awful.
Were there first.
Hey, man, he took your name.
You were there
he
first.
Took your
he was
name.
Named
you...
after you.
And by the way, my middle initial is J, so I was Brian James Anderson. And, you know, you get the moniker BJ Surhoff, you got, you know, whatever. Well, in the little town that I grew up in of Geneva, there was a kid a year older than me. He was the good-looking kid. He was the kid that had the girlfriend in high school that went to a different school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. When your girlfriend is from a different school, you're a dude. You've branched out into the county. And that's what he was. Now, his name was BJ Moline, and we were good friends, played ball together and everything else. But let's just say that the town wasn't big enough for two of us. So I got stuck with Brian.
You were Brian.
Or BA. I think that's probably where BA started.
Well, Brian Anderson joining us on the Upset Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, buddy. Did you see the first challenge of the ABS system, the old automatic ball and strike system? Have nothing to do with your car. And what did you think of it when you saw it?
Didn't see it. Had no idea. My head's still been in the sand. Now that games have started, I've got to wake up. You should have been clued in that I had no answer to that question when I didn't know that the Yankees changed their facial hair policy.
That should have been the tip-off.
He is completely disassociated with the game right now. But now that you mentioned that and the new ABS thing and apparently games have started, I'm going to lock it in this afternoon, baby.
Okay. All right. Next time we talk, we'll talk this and break it down. It was pretty cool when they did it, man. It was like borderline, because I went back and saw the replay of it. It was like borderline how they do faults in tennis, you know, where they basically like turn around and just go, all right, I need to see this. And they just show the thing up on the screen and it's either ball or strike. And the same way that the tennis ball hits the line. It was pretty cool. And it was fast.
So it was done that quickly.
Yeah, it was quick too.
See that. And that's the thing. If they can continue to keep the pace and it doesn't become cumbersome, then, you know, hey, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. You know, and not that it's going to be every close pitch, but if you get a certain number of challenges or you know, however it works, you know, that'll be interesting to see.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Guardians bringing in pitchers like crazy, BA, and I think keeping their fingers crossed that a couple of guys emerge, either fill out the rotation or become key guys in the bullpen. Is that a tough way to build a pitching staff, or because of the fact that these guys have been so good at it that they're just not throwing darts at a dartboard? They're taking rifles and going right at guys.
That's right. No, listen, they've got a track record. They've got a proven track record. They know how to build a pitching staff. They know how to develop pitchers, and they know how to take pitchers that maybe there's some market inefficiencies on and bring them in, take what they do very, very well and accentuate that, and then whatever they don't do particularly well, they make that passable, and then all of a sudden you've got a really good relief pitcher on your hands. Tampa's great at it too. And so when they're out there and it looks to be sometimes willy-nilly just picking up arms, there's a lot more that goes into it than that. And they're also smart enough to realize at the end of the day, you need depth. Pitching injuries with all of this workload stuff, and we've talked about this before, pitching injuries are not going down. In fact, you can make a case that they're going up because of the amount of effort, torque, spin, velocity, all of that. You know, listen, I can make my body stronger. I can make myself more flexible. I can make my mechanics more efficient. You know what I can't do? I can't do anything about my little ligaments and tendons in the elbow. Okay? I can't. And so I make myself stronger, more flexible, more efficient with my mechanics. I velocity train, so now I'm throwing the ball through brick walls. Those ligaments and tendons are what they are, and they are going to pop. Period. And these teams know that, and that's why they're building, the smart ones are building tons of depth. And Cleveland knows what they're looking for.
Well said, sir. Good to have you with us, buddy.
Yes, awesome. Very, very good. I'm glad that you guys let me know that baseball started. I'm excited to go check it out.
And so, you're not going to be ostracized if you walk in a Yankee clubhouse. Now. Yeah, you got that going for
you. Go grow a beard.
That's right. I will not stand out. I've become the beard guy. That's a whole other story.
Give our best to Rod Carew and the Yankees.
We'll get to bed at 4 a.m. We'll talk about that next week.
Thanks, B.A.
See you, brother.
All right, boys.
Ryan Anderson joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.